your Bibles, and I trust all of you do, I ask you to turn with me to the 16th chapter of John's Gospel. John chapter 16, at verse 23. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Asking ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go unto the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now thou speakest plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. May God add his blessing to the reading of this portion of his word. If I were to take a trip to Austin and decide that I would like to see the governor of this great state, walk into the Capitol building and walk up to his office and knock on the door, I very seriously doubt that I would be admitted to the presence of the governor. He's too busy to spend time with the likes of me. How foolish you would think that I could go to Washington and walk up to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, go through the front gates of the White House, walk in the front door, march up to the president's office, and ask to see the president and expect to be admitted to his presence. They would look at me as though I were insane and say, Who are you? What right do you have to come? What makes you think that the president has nothing more important to do than to spend time with you? What makes you think you have any right to go into the presence of Almighty God, who's occupied with the affairs of this universe, and think that you have any right to his ear, that you have a right to ask him for anything? What gives you any warrant to believe that God will hear your prayer if you pray? And if Governor Smith and President Nixon are too busy for me, what makes you think that Almighty God is not? And I want to speak to you simply this evening in one phrase found in the 16th chapter of John's Gospel that gives us the right to pray. It gives us the right to come into the presence of God and expect to be heard, and with the assurance that God will hear and will answer. I read again verse 23 of John 16. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Verse 26, at that day ye shall ask in my name. And the key phrase that I want to talk with you for a few minutes this evening, as we consider our right to pray, is that phrase, in my name. A name can gain entrance. Some little time ago now, a man who was seeking employment came to me, and he mentioned one of the men in our church. And he said, I believe that if I could talk with him, I could get a job. But he said, I've tried to get an appointment with him and have been unsuccessful in doing so. I know that you know him. Would you write me a letter of introduction? And so as a favor to this man who was seeking employment, I wrote him an introduction to this friend of mine who was a businessman here in the city. The businessman had not opened his office door when this man came and asked for an interview. But when this man came to my friend and said, Dwight Pentecost referred me to you, the businessman said, come in and sit down. The man told his need and that which he was looking for in the way of employment, and as it so happened, while this businessman was not able to employ him himself, he was able to refer him to someone who was looking for a man with the qualifications that this individual had. What was it that gained admission to the office of this man? It was the use of my name. And when the man came using my name, the door that had been closed was opened to him with satisfying results. A name can be used to gain entrance. But our Lord did not say that if you use my name, whatsoever you ask, the Father will give you. He did not say, use my name. As great a privilege as that would have been. He said, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. You will notice that our Lord is given a promise here with no strings attached and no reservations. He said, whatsoever you ask, he will give it you. The only limitation and restriction that our Lord placed upon this universal promise is praying in His name. Whatsoever you ask in my name, ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. To ask in Christ's name signifies that a relationship has been established between Jesus Christ and the one praying in His name. A relationship has been established. Back in John chapter 14 and verse 20, our Lord said, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Ye in me, and I in you. When one personally receives Jesus Christ as his or her own Savior, that one, because of faith in Jesus Christ, becomes one with Jesus Christ. The two have become one flesh. This is a great mystery. How a sinner and Jesus Christ can become one. But it is a truth revealed to us in the Word of God. And God has established a relationship in this world to illustrate that great spiritual relationship. The Word of God tells us that when a man and a woman pledge their troth to each other in marriage, the two become one flesh. Husband and wife become one. They are two persons, but they are one in marriage. And that which is true in this world in marriage was designed by God to teach a precious truth concerning the relationship of one who trusts Christ and the Savior whom he received. They become one. And when the two become one in marriage, the wife has a right to a new name. She has a right to her husband's name. 6 years ago today, John Master took as his wife Janet Crawford. And at the moment of their marriage, Janet had the right to use John's name as her own. the relationship that was established in that marriage ceremony gave Janet the right to use John's name. Just several weeks before our daughter was married, we received a sheet of paper on which our daughter, obviously in anticipation of her forthcoming wedding, had been scribbling and doodling. For the years of her life, she had used the name Jane Pentecost. But all over that page was written Jane Fenby. Jane P. Fenby. Jane Pentecost Fenby. J.P. Fenby. All possible combinations were written out there. She never knew that that was going to be thermofaxed and sent down to us. But in view of her approaching marriage, she was experimenting using another name. And when on April 22nd I had the privilege of pronouncing Jane and Frank husband and wife, she had the right to use that name. And when she signs her letters now, it's no longer Jane Pentecost, it's Jane Fenby. And what was anticipated before the wedding is now an actuality because a relationship was established. And she had a right to a new name. When one uses a name, he is using all of the power and the authority and the right that go with that name. And all of the honor and privilege and prestige of a name stand behind the name itself. If one were to use my name, it would mean little, because I have little prestige or prominence or authority or power. But if one were to use the name of a king or a president, all of the authority attached to that office go with the name. And when one, because of his relationship to Jesus Christ by faith in Him as Savior, uses His name before the throne of grace, all of the authority and the power and the privilege and the right that belongs to the Savior is behind that prayer. To pray in the name of Jesus Christ, then, is to pray because of our relationship to Him. And when we pray in His name, all of His authority and His power and His influence with the Father is behind that prayer. Let me suppose for a minute that some years ago, young David Eisenhower had wanted to go see President Nixon. And I can well imagine, say, I knew your grandfather, but David, my desk is full. My appointment book is full. I don't have time to work you in. But then the president's daughter should take hold of David Eisenhower's hand and should go hand in hand with him to her father's door and knock on his door, and he called out, we'll suppose, who's there? And he said, and a voice said, "It's Julie." And the president would say, "Come in, Julie." Why? Because of the relationship. And the door opened, and there's Julie, but along with Julie is David. And the president had said he was too busy to see David. But when Julie asked to come in, the door was opened, and Julie brought David along. How did David get in? Because of a relationship to one who was related to the president. How can you and I come into the presence of Almighty God? Who are we to barge in? We have no right. We have no reason to make demands upon his time or his attention. But you see, our hand has been put into the hand of one who is related to the Father. And when the Son asks the Father to admit us into his presence together with him, when he goes with us into the presence of the Father, and when he does the petitioning for us, we are assured that the Father will hear and answer our prayer. To pray in the name of Jesus is not to use his name as a magical formula. I'm afraid sometimes that the average individual sitting in the congregation listening to a pastoral prayer comes to the words "in Jesus' name," and to him all it means is it's a signal to wake up. We're going on to something else. To pray in Jesus' name is not to attach a name as a magic formula at the end of a petition. But to pray in Jesus' name is to pray from our position in Jesus Christ, so that Christ and I are praying together. And the fact of the matter is, when I pray in Jesus' name, the Son takes my petition and he presents it to the Father for me. And the Father will not deny the petition of his Son. In verse 27 of John 16, our Lord said, "The Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God." The Son of God is loved by the Father. The child of God is loved by the Father. And when the child of God and the Son of God unite together in presenting a petition because of the Father's love for his Son and his sons, he will not deny that petition. May I emphasize again, you and I of ourselves have no right to come into the presence of the Father. We have no assurance from what is within us that God will hear or will answer. But when I present a petition from my position in Jesus Christ, and I am united with Jesus Christ in presenting that petition, or when I pray with all of the power and the authority of Jesus Christ behind that petition, because I use his name and I pray in his name, I have the assurance and the promise that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father, he will give it you. You will notice in that 23rd verse that the petition is presented to the Father. And there I see again the fact that to pray in Jesus' name is to pray because I am a child of God to my Heavenly Father. Because of the relationship established through Jesus Christ, the Father will grant my petition. This is a very simple proposition that I put before you this evening, but one that it is absolutely vital to a prayer life that sees the hand of God working on our behalf. If you for one moment think that you have any right to make demands upon the throne of God and that you have power to move the hand of God, you are woefully mistaken. With that concept, you will never see a prayer end. But when you have been joined to Jesus Christ so that you and He become one, and He in all His perfection voice your petition for you because you offer the petition in His name, the Father will not and cannot deny the petition that you and the Son have presented. To pray in Jesus' name is a prerequisite to answered prayer. Unless you pray in Jesus' name, your prayer will not be answered. I repeat, to pray in Jesus' name is a prerequisite to answered prayer. When one prays, therefore, he must be certain, first of all, that he knows Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Until one is rightly related to Jesus Christ as Savior, there is no promise of answered prayer. Until one has Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior, he has no right to come, no ground upon which he can come to present a petition. Jesus Christ is offered to sinful man as a Savior. His blood is offered as a covering for sin. When one receives Christ as a personal Savior, the debt that it accumulated is forgiven. It is covered by blood. It is removed. The record is wiped clean. The individual is accepted as a child of God. Joining a church, being baptized, going through the rituals or ceremonies of the church cannot save. Giving vast amounts of money cannot purchase salvation. Salvation is obtained as any gift is obtained. The offerer offers a gift. And to make that offered gift yours, you accept it. God asks you to accept Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. But not only must one have received Christ as a personal Savior, in order to have prayer answered, one must be in fellowship with the Savior. And if one's life is clouded with sin, and his heart is far from the Lord Jesus Christ because of some unconfessed sin in his life, there can and will be no answered prayer. Because to pray in Jesus' name means that I am in close, intimate fellowship with him when the prayer is being answered. God's answer to the problem of sin in the life of his child is found in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What I'm trying to get across to you in this very simple way tonight, beloved of God, is this fact, that you cannot batter down the doors of heaven. You cannot pry open the gates of glory. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. When you join yourself to Him by faith in Him as your Savior, you and He together can present your petition. And when you thus pray in His name, with all of His authority behind your request, you have the promise, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. What a delight it is for a child of God to slip his hand into the hand of the Savior and to say to the Savior, let's go to the Father's house together. That's what it is to pray in His name.